what this is all about.
Two blade or three blade or something with blades?
Two. No, we're going to talk about the Winter Bash.
Mm.
We have to. We promise. You promise these things, and you never.
I've never promised anything ever.
Yeah, you did. You did. Oh, wonderful. Now people are texting us. All right, let's get it going.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to episode number 26. 26, dude.
Wow.
No way.
26, huh?
No need.
Interesting.
Silence your phone, because people are just blowing up our phones today. Mm-hmm. At least mine. Your phone never stops, though.
It's just a constant stream of dinging.
Ding, ding, ding.
Anyway.
It's time for the holidays. Ding, ding, ding. Oh. Ding, 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 ding. Whatever that is. All right, cool. So, what you been up to, Kyle?
We just got off of the Torches Winter Bash, the local little winter fun flight here put on by Mr. Gator and Mr. Watts. That was a good time, wasn't it?
What do you think? How was it?
I thought it was awesome. I had a great time. It was more laid back compared to OHB. You just kind of hanging out with buddies, flying, having a good time in the nice Florida weather.
And I want to apologize to our guests because we really had intentions to do some recordings and some things there, but it just never happened.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons for that is, man, the days are short. The days are freaking short, and I hate it. I hate the sun setting at like 5 o'clock.
It's crazy.
You know, and the field was dead in the mornings, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it started to get busy at 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the point where like Saturday, I didn't even bother getting there before 10 o'clock. And I got there at 10, and next thing I know, I blinked, and it's like, okay, it's getting dark. What happened? Like crazy.
Day's over. Yep.
Yeah. But it was a good event nonetheless. Nothing like the blowout, but I think better in some ways. I think worse in others, depending on the, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder, right?
It
depends on
it.
what people like or they don't like. So
I thought it was awesome. Yeah, lots of fun. Fly whenever you want.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time. And, you know, I have to give it to Bobby, man. The cone clinics were a success.
It was cool.
They really were.
Yeah.
Like there was only two, but a lot of people were paying attention. Like it seemed like, almost kind of like feel bad that we didn't do one, but I just felt like, I don't know why, I just felt like I was running around the whole time.
Yeah. No, they were cool. They did a cone clinic on V-bar tuning, because it was technically Fly Brothers tuning, but it was done by Kyle Dahl, which means it was V-bar tuning. And then they did one on nitro motors, the two biggest things that people battle in the hobby. So I think it was cool.
Yeah, they did
a great job. So what about pilot count? How many people were there? Would you say, I don't know, something like 80, 90 pilots?
It was weird, dude, because the last count I got from the registration guys at like 3 o'clock on Saturday was like 86.
Mm, okay.
So I think it'd be in the 90s.
Right.
But it's weird because I feel like there was a lot more people there.
Yeah.
It felt like there were at least 150 pilots in there.
Felt like it. Maybe not everyone was registering. Who knows?
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but based on my assumption and what I can see and having run events for 10 years, man, I have this feeling that a lot of people didn't register. A lot of people. I hate it, but
very rude.
I'm guilty because I go to events and everybody kind of knows me and mm-hmm. You know, as a sponsor, like, it's not that I don't feel like I have to register. I try to. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times I forget.
Me too.
And, you know, shout out to Matt Bodos. He donated a Synergy 556.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, if you register, forgive me, brother. I love you, man. But I wonder if people like Matt, people like that you know, came over. And there were pilots that were flying. But if they did not register just because, you know, they forgot or, like, you know how it is. You know.
Of course.
If you're not your typical, like if you're very involved in the hobby and you're a sponsor, a lot of times you know, you get comped.
Yeah.
Just simply because you're helping out, you're donating money and everything else. So,
something, yeah.
When that happens a lot, then you just kind of tend to forget to go and sign up.
Sucks.
But sucks because everybody should sign up regardless, just because, you know, because of AMA and stuff like that and to get the AMA sanction waiver and everything else. But to me, it just felt like there was many more pilots. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say very easily 120, 130.
Yeah, for sure. Because
it felt like a Virginia event to me, kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite like a spring Virginia event, but close.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we had Jin, the owner of Xnova, fly in from China. We had the Russians come in from Moscow. I mean, we had a lot of, you know, we had the guys from Switzerland with the Soxos, with mm-hmm. the heli professional. Mm-hmm. We had quite a few people make the trip from overseas too. Yeah. So, yeah.
It was a good time. Good time. But what about sponsors? I don't remember hardly any of them. But we got sponsored by a lot of people. There was,
yeah.
Of course, we sponsored it. BK Hobbies, BK Servo, all that. Matt Bodos, like you mentioned, Soxos donated a kit. I think Horizon Hobby gave a radio. I think there was so much stuff. The donations were awesome.
Yeah, Horizon donated. Empire RC, they weren't able to come, but they sent in a certificate for a Gaui NX7.
Mm-hmm.
There was Matt's 556, like I said before. What else? Scorpion donated a bunch of stuff, lots of motors.
Mm-hmm.
Xnova donated like 3 or 4 motors.
Right.
We did, with the help of SAB, we did the Goblin 770.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a set of servos. We did sets of blades. We did 10 bags, 10 carry bags. That's a lot of bags we gave away.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of stuff. Yeah. A lot of stuff on that table, man. Yeah. It was good. It was solid.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, the fact that it's a small... Yeah, a small laid-back event. I feel like the pool of raffle prices was pretty hefty. It was big.
Not too bad. So, but no, it was a good time. Good weather. Not bad weather, actually. It was a little chilly in the mornings. A little windy Saturday afternoon. But, you know, it's Orlando, Florida in the winter. It could be a lot worse.
It wasn't windy, was it?
Yeah, a little breezy. But nothing bad. I'm just nitpicking everything now. But
so I like,
it was cool.
I would say we had 100 pilots, and we had a lot of sponsors, which was really good. Dude, I think the weather was good.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Like, it could have been way worse, right?
Could have been like what it is now.
I mean, Thursday, it could have been like frost in the morning.
Man.
We had almost, it was a perfect day on Friday, let me say, because it was like 75, 73,
mm-hmm.
and it was sunny, and there was hardly any wind at all.
No humidity.
Yeah, it was great. And then Saturday was like also again like another 75 degree day.
Yeah.
A little breeze, like you said, but not blowing. Not bad. Yeah, not blowing bad. Like 5 to 10 or something. So not too bad. So weather was great. Couldn't ask for more.
Except for Sunday, where it just rained from 7 a.m. until 3 p.m.
Yeah, Sunday. But by Sunday everybody was gone. Yeah, so I didn't even go to the field Sunday.
I didn't even get out of bed. No need.
Yeah. Yeah. But who else was there? Like, there was a decent amount of people. Like, we missed some people that couldn't show up. George was supposed to come.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it. I think he had some with his wife he had to take care of or something. Yeah. I don't know the exact story, but we missed you there, George.
Yeah.
Who else didn't show up, like, last minute? The Align Boys, man.
I know. What the heck?
I was surprised. I didn't organize the event, so I really was not in tune with everything that was going on. But I did help those guys with the initial email to all the sponsors and stuff like that to kind of get make an introduction, because we've been doing, you know, the blowout for so many years. So Gator asked for my help, and I sent an email to everybody and all the sponsors and all the companies that have historically sponsored the blowout. And I said, hey, you know, these guys at the club are doing this event. It's a little different. This is, you know, kind of laid out the explanation of what we were looking for. And Gail was, you know, Align Gail was one of the first ones to reply and said, yeah, man, we're coming, you know, we're going to support it, this and that. And then we just never heard back from them.
Done. Weird. Yeah. I wonder what happened.
I hope everything's okay.
But very strange.
Yeah. So,
oh, well.
So we missed the Align guys. We missed the Empire guys. They couldn't make the trip.
Horizon Hobby wasn't there.
All right. Well, they helped though. They sent donations and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, none of them could attend. Who else was missing? You know, it's funny now that I think about it. Luca Invernizzi was supposed to come, and he didn't show up either.
No.
But shout out to Luca. I forgot to mention you, Luca, because Oxy donated 3 kits. So thank you very much, Luca. That was awesome. Yeah. So we had kits from Oxy. We had all kinds of stuff. Like it was a good solid event.
Very solid. Maybe maybe we can convince Mr. Gator to do it again next year. Even though Bobby will not be in town or be around to help out with it, maybe we can get Gator to do it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So so that's it for that. But, there was no demos, but it's almost as if there were demos. And that's what I like about the layout at that club, at Torches at that field, right? Because you have that safety net, and then you have that center station.
Mm-hmm.
And that center station is the only station that has that, like, pad and stuff. And it's not a big deal, but it's directly in front of the only permanent structure we have there,
right,
directly in front of the sound system. So any pilot that wants to show off, they go there, and it is truly center.
Mm-hmm.
Other events, not to say anything bad about them, but like you go to Virginia, there's really no true center, right? It's right. more like they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a center state flight station. So mm-hmm. when you go there, people are going to watch you. Everybody's kind of, everybody's sort of like all gathered around center.
Yeah.
So I feel like there were demos, because even though nothing was really organized, when somebody went and laid it down, like mm-hmm. either Gator or Mark Watkins or any of those guys got on the microphone and they started like getting people's attention about that one flight, right?
Yeah. So everyone I was out there flying. Bobby was flying. I was flying. Kyle Dahl was out there flying.
Got to I flew a lot too.
You did.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. Shut up. Don't even. All right. Skip. Let's go on.
No, we can't skip that. Come on.
We have to.
No. How many packs did you burn?
Okay. So up next, who else was there?
Oh, man.
So a lot of people, yeah.
So many people.
Rybert.
Chris Rybert, yeah, from New York came.
Sponsors, I forgot to mention the Mikado Boys. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Brian Gorgon and Mikado for supporting the event and donating to the event. Mm-hmm. That, man, it's so easy to forget people. Like, it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. Who else would have made
your boy Chris Rybert was there.
Yeah. The Ninjas. Joe and Travis.
Oh, yeah. Reyes. Joe and Travis. Yeah. They came and stayed with us here at the house.
The Diamantes, the Choruses.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our own Ron Chorus with his wife and, well, your team manager / father in law.
There you go. Yeah.
It was good. Good time. And then Saturday after the event, after it got dark, so after 5 o'clock, we came over to my house, and that was fun, man. That was a lot of fun.
A little party. Yeah, it was packed here.
Yeah, we had a lot of people here. Yeah. We had a lot of people.
Yeah, that's cool.
We had Todd Dudek and Candy, and we had the Russians come over, and of course, Gator showed up with his wife, Kathy, and then the Choruses.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, the Diamantes, you know, Chris, Dolores, and Mike, and did Chris' girlfriend show up for the party? Yeah. Dude, it was busy. I missed a lot of people. Like, I feel like I went outside because Matt and Amy Bodo showed up, and I wanted to show them around a little bit, showed them the shop and this and that. And then when I came back to the house, I felt like everybody was already leaving. Mm-hmm. And it was only like 10 or 11.
Yeah.
But regardless, you bailed too. Everybody bailed. And then it ended up being just me, Zano, Dudex, Amanda Ringer, and Joe and Travis Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we had fun, man. We played Guitar Hero, then I played a little bit of keyboard, and Travis Reyes was singing. And it was a good time.
Up until 4 a.m. for no reason.
Yeah, up until like 3:30, yes.
No need. But, absolutely no need. Yeah. I'm too old for that. I was in bed by 11:30, I think.
I know you're an old man trapped in a young kid's body. I'm a young guy trapped in an old man's body. Sucks, doesn't it? Terrible.
Anyway, moving on.
So what do you got?
Well, we can talk about the upcoming Christmas sale.
You want to talk about that?
We can just mention that something might be coming. Maybe, perhaps, possibly.
Okay. It's a shameless plug, though. I hate to do that, but
fine.
We kind of have to do it.
It's all good.
So...
Yeah.
If you guys have ever purchased something from BK Hobbies and you have your email address on file and you've not unsubscribed from our mailing list,
very important,
you will start getting some special deals daily.
Mm-hmm.
Daily. And you can take advantage of them or you don't. It's completely up to you. But every day we're going to have something cool and something different.
Yeah.
So one day it's going to be something about a helicopter. The other day might be motors. The other day might be get free this with that. The other day. So it's pretty interesting. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Keep your eyes peeled. There's something for everybody there.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. It's been a lot of work to get that together, but it's going to be cool. And the new Drake.
The new Drake. We have a couple new kits coming from SAB Heli Division.
The new Drake is going to be released very soon.
Very soon.
When?
Next week. Right?
Really?
Next week. I think it's the 15th it comes out, technically.
Well, technically, the kits should be here. The first batch and, you know... some of the people are getting pushed to the second batch just because, you know, there was more interest than we anticipated.
Right.
I believe if you have not been pushed to the second batch, you haven't gotten any communication from us.
Right.
So the people that are getting pushed to the second batch already have been notified, but, the first batch was supposed to arrive tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to the wonders of, the United Parcel Service, UPS. I think it's delayed. I don't know.
Outstanding.
But actually, I'm going to check it right now. So there's a lot of people interested in this. I think a lot of people like this orange.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys are familiar with what the Havoc was, that is a three-bladed head, three-bladed tail Thundersport that came out with a matte yellow kind of camo finish. And SAB took that and they made it orange to match the Drake airplane, but they put a two-bladed rotor head on it. So think of a Goblin Thundersport with the new paint scheme as well as some white landing gear and tail fin. So they have a 700 coming out and then a 570 coming out, which is the 570 Sport, but with the orange matte paint scheme. So,
and the funny thing is, some people have not complained, but made comments that it's $100 and some more than the Thundersport, but it comes with blades.
That's right. Main blades and tail blades.
Yeah. You can't get a set of mains and tails for $120.
Mm-mm.
No.
Nowhere.
I mean, you could on sale in some cases here and there, like rare occasions, but not regularly, not for any brand, you know, high-end brand of blades.
Right.
So it's a good deal.
Yeah,
it's a good deal.
It's cool. It's got a sweet paint scheme. That's my new favorite is that the Drake matte orange. I love the color orange, so I think it looks absolutely incredible.
Nice.
So that'll be coming soon.
So technically the scheduled release date was, originally was mid-December,
mm-hmm.
and then based on our scheduled you know, arrival time, then we pushed it to the 17th, which is still mid-December.
Sure.
And it says right here that it's scheduled for arrival here on Friday. So, but it's weird because it's still in Taiwan. So, but we'll see. It's UPS, you know?
They might just show up.
They usually don't know what they're doing.
They have no idea. But something I want to cover real quick is we keep getting a lot of questions about the Goblin Kraken. I wish we had more information for you guys about that. I do know that Enrico is doing some double checks on some parts right now, and I should be receiving one personally here in the next couple weeks to do some testing down in Florida. I think Bert and I will be getting one of each to try out and put it through its paces. But development is still in progress, still going. It's not canceled. It's not stopped or anything like that. Just taking their time to make sure they get it right.
Yeah, and I have been promised February. But, you know, the dates keep changing back and forth because there's, you know, logistics challenges with some vendors and, like, everything on this helicopter is completely new.
Everything.
Absolutely everything.
Yeah.
So it's going to require some testing and all kinds of stuff. And
But
I honestly, even if it's delayed, it's definitely the spring. I don't see why not.
It has to be. Yeah.
It will be in the spring.
Yeah. So,
looking
forward to flying those. Once we know more, we'll obviously keep you guys in the loop. But that's all we got for now as far as Kraken goes.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, get a Drake and be happy with it.
Or a Havoc if you want a three-plate.
Yeah, correct. So what is this Clash thing? Let's talk about this.
Yeah. Speaking of that, the Drake versus Havoc.
Go ahead.
Drake versus Havoc. The topic today, the main topic of the podcast, is two blades versus three blades. And it's kind of a nice little, I don't know, segue, I guess, because the Drake is two blades and the Havoc is three blades. So I figure we'll talk about the differences, pros and cons, advantages and disadvantages. What do you think? Burton hates three blade. I don't know why.
No, dude, what are you talking about? I have a Havoc now. I love it.
Huh?
It's great. Yeah.
You enjoy it?
Yeah, I do.
But you prefer two blade.
We talked about this, I think, on a podcast before. I never liked three blades. I always hated it. And I think it had to do with the flight controller I was flying at the time.
Sure.
And to Angelos, the owner of Spartan RC's defense, I love the Spartan. I think it flies really, really good. And it has a very fluid feel, almost like a fly bar, which is what made me fall in love with that system years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's why I flew it and helped them for years on end. I don't know how long, 4 years, maybe more.
Right.
But I don't think for some reason that system was happy with three blades. Just wasn't. And I had this challenge to where if the gain was 1-2 points too high, then it would shake, right? Because of high gain on the three blade rotor head.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was 1 or 2 points too low, then it felt too loose, like it was wandering all over the place. So I could never get it to feel locked in the way I wanted it.
Right.
But now with the Neo, with the V-Bar Neo, like, I like it a lot. It's a different feel, but I like it a lot.
It's very different.
Yeah. It doesn't suit my flying style as well as it suits yours, but I still like it. I enjoy flying the helicopter a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I like the sound of it. Sounds badass. Like, I just like how it feels. It's just different. It takes a little bit of time to get used to it.
It's more, we'll cover it all, but to me, it's more robotic. It's more of a locked in, very precise feeling rather than a loose, erratic smack machine, right?
Yeah. It's like it wants to almost fight you.
Yeah.
Through the maneuvers, right?
It's going to do what it's want. You can just kind of guide it.
Yeah, correct.
Let's do a little background. So for three blades, it's nothing new by any means. Three-bladed helicopters and three-bladed rotor heads have been around for a while. They're pretty popular in the scale scene. For any helicopters out there, they have a three-bladed head, as well as the F3C world. Three-bladed heads are inherently more stable due to the added rotor blade, so it's really good for any hovering maneuvers and big air maneuvers that F3C maneuvers and pilots require. So I'd say in the starting 2013, 2014 is when they kind of started getting used more for 3D.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact that in 2014 is when Enrico designed the three-bladed head for the Goblin. And that's when you and I started trying it out and experimenting with it and seeing what it would do. So first thing, let's talk about the physical differences. This might seem kind of obvious, but some people might not pick up on it. But the big thing is the extra blade grip and everything to go along with it. So there's a new blade grip arm, bearings, main linkage, and obviously an extra rotor blade, right?
Yeah, same with the tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same exact thing, if you're running a three-bladed
tail. And not to put the three-blade setup down, but it I've always said this, and I've said it to a lot of people, and I always think about this. The helicopter manufacturers have worked very hard over the last 10 years to improve their products. And one of the ways in which they've improved the product is by reducing the number of parts. Mm-hmm. This goes against that principle.
100%.
You're adding more stuff, more complication, more expense.
Yeah.
So, but it comes with its advantages too, right?
I mean, one of the biggest advantages is the added stability, like we mentioned before. So any sort of maneuver or flying that you do is going to feel more precise and more locked in. So anything to from a hover to a hurricane to a loop, it's going to fly like it's on rails just because it's so stable now.
And more floaty, too, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah, because you got more lift from the blade, so a little floatier. But yeah. Let's talk about the different requirements for the power setup because it's a little different.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say for a three-blade, the minimum you want is a 160 to a 200-amp ESC just because you got so much more load and everything's getting so much hotter now.
I agree. I think you can get away with a 130 all day long with a 700 if you're not just with a two-bladed setup.
Yes.
If you're not beating on it like a bat out of hell.
Right.
But with the three-blade setup, at least a 160.
At least. And with a fan if you can.
Yeah, if you can. But also depends on the gear ratio you select, right?
This is true.
You and I are flying at a pretty high head speeds, like considering their three-blade setups.
Right.
You could technically bring that head speed down to like 2,000 and still get decent performance. Don't you agree?
Which is funny because I used to run my Kyle Stacey edition at like 1920 and I thought I had crazy power.
Yeah.
But now mine is absolutely ripping at like 2300.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. But I'd say a modest head speed that most people could get away with is probably like 1700. And I'll have plenty of lift. I know I it sounds low, but with three blades, it's plenty.
I honestly think I'm just throwing numbers based on my experience. I feel like a three-blade helicopter, like a Havoc versus a Drake, just because we're talking about those two. Mm-hmm. The Havoc at 2,000 will feel like a Drake feels at 2,200.
That's true.
2,200.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, sure. So Havoc 2,000, Drake 2,200.
Right.
When you take the Havoc to 2,300, like you and I are doing, it's like flying a Drake at 2,500.
Yeah, it's
2,600.
Awesome. It's awesome. They're absolutely ripping.
So point being is you don't need to have that crazy head speed to get good performance.
Yeah.
Now, when you go for that high head speed, yes, you need at least 160, 200 amp ESC. Mm-hmm. When you go to the lower head speed and you keep it under 2,000, you could probably still get away with a 130. Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's possible.
It's possible, but not real ideal. Blades. Blades are very different with these. I don't want to really get into specifics because that's kind of SAB's design, but just the general thing is the blades are overall lighter because you kind of want to keep the flying total blade mass about the same as a two-blade head. So the blades are overall lighter as well as the balance. The CG is moved further in towards the root to make it quicker.
And like you said, they're generally a lot lighter, whereas, you know, two-bladed rotor head blade will be coming in an average of 200 grams.
Mm-hmm.
You want these things to be under 170, if at all possible. Yeah. And some people argue that they need to be as low as 150, 140. But unfortunately, it's practically impossible to manufacture a blade at that weight and keep it consistently, you know, safe and keep that consistency during the manufacturing process. So, so a lot of them are in the 170 range or whatever, but still they need to be much lighter than a two-blade setup for sure.
Right.
And, you know, going back to the requirements for power setups, the other thing that I would like to mention with regards to that is the motor. It's a similar deal when you talk about motors and when you talk about ESCs, whereas most people will be super happy with a 45-25 motor on a two-bladed setup. I mean, I think 45-25 is perhaps the most popular motor, whether you fly Scorpion or Exnova or any other brand. You can still use that motor in a three-bladed setup, but I would say that you should consider a 45-30 instead, because it has a little bit more oomph, more torque, and you need that to spin the three blades, right? So you still can get away with 45-25, but you should go with a bigger motor as well.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I flew a 45-25 520 Scorpion in my three-blade up until this year, mid this year when we started flying Exnova motors with no real problems, but the 45-30 Exnova definitely gives me more torque, and there's less RPM sag, and everything just comes down happier.
And it runs cooler, too, because it's got more power. So. Yeah,
doesn't have to work as hard.
Absolutely.
But flying characteristics. This is going to be kind of personal and kind of your own opinion, and you and I can kind of bounce back and forth on this. But like we've mentioned a couple times now, more stable, more locked in. What I've noticed is that three blades can't really get up and go out of its way. Is like it can't stop and change the direction as quick as a two blade can. That's probably due to the main rotor mass being higher. But it just feels so predictable and so precise and locked in for what I want it to do. So for any hurricane, it picks a line and it stays right there. I really have to give very, very minimal corrections for where I want it to be. And it's really for every maneuver. Wouldn't you agree? Like it's where you put it is where it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, you do this maneuver that I think Duncan does that a lot too. And like I remember we were at like Heli Masters or somewhere, and I told you do this, and it's just like really low. It's kind of a hurricane, but not really because the tail is off angle. And when you do that, I'm sure you could do that lower with a three-bladed setup than you can with a two-bladed setup. Correct. No question.
Correct.
Because you could probably, like, once you set it up and you know you're at that altitude, you just feed very little inputs just to keep it tracking. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the two blade, I don't think it locks in the same way, right?
Yeah, the two blade doesn't. It's kind of like being on ice skates. You kind of got to be behind it a little bit more, be on top of it to, like,
you mean ahead of it.
Ahead of it, yeah, sorry. Be ahead of it to kind of keep it going in the direction you want it. But with the three blades, you just pick a line and just let it go.
Yeah, and it just does it. Yeah.
Just keeps going. You just kind of collective pitch and very small cyclic.
But like you said, when you're doing big sudden direction changes and things like that, it doesn't really quite do it like a two blade.
Correct.
Yeah,
it's probably just got to be to the main rotor mass.
Yeah, everything has its pros and cons, right? It depends on what suits everybody's flying style the best or what people are after. Sure. But I agree. I mean, I haven't had anywhere near, I probably have 1% of the experience you have with three blades, because I really have not flown three blades much at all, if any. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, the 20, 30 flights I have on my Havoc is nothing compared to all the flights you've done over the years with the Kyle Stacey edition. But I feel the same way. I feel like if you're doing a maneuver, like especially big air stuff where you just let it track, it's locked in. Mm-hmm. It's right there. Mm-hmm. And then when you bring it on the deck, it kind of feels like it wants to fight you.
A little bit.
Not much, but it's not as fluid. It doesn't do things as, it's more robotic, like you said, you know?
Got to really push it through everything.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, when it comes to big air, it's amazing. It really does track. I feel like it tracks way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
You can't really beat it.
Especially with the super crazy high head speed. I think it tracks even better.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're spinning, I mean, super fast. And, you know, I mean, the tip speed at the end of the day, it's the same as like a two-bladed setup. Mm-hmm. But you have a lot more lift. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Just as like a preface, Bert and I are running some setups that are pretty insane. If you do want to copy our setup, just be wary of the power that you're holding in your hands, because with wrong collective management or wrong setup, you could burn a lot of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk about your setup.
The setup I'm running is a Goblin Havoc Edition, like we talked about, and it's a 4530 Lightning Series from Exnova with a Hobbywing Platinum 200 amp version 4.1 and now some OptiPower 12S 50C batteries.
Yeah.
5000 milliamp. But I can't remember the pulley I have on there right now. But it's
And you, I think that you're running a motor that we're not supposed to. It's the same 4530, but it's a special motor, has a different KV.
Right.
So I don't think those guys will be happy if we talk about the motor.
No.
But it's geared to run about 2300.
About 2300.
Yeah, which you could do with any 4530 Exnova motor. You just got to find the right pulley for it.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, I don't remember what pulley it is, but it's got to be spinning about 2300. Which is 400 RPM more than I've ever run on a three-blade, with now a lighter airframe, because the Havoc is lighter than the Kyle Stacey Edition ever was. So I've got some Kyle Stacey servos on there as well, the new BK servos.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, just a V-Bar Neo. It's pretty basic.
So what is the typical setup like for most people? Let's forget about your setup or my setup, but like, what would you recommend somebody to do with a three-bladed setup, like for rotor RPM? We already talked about what motor to run, what ESC to run. But what about like rotor RPM and pitch?
That, I run 14.5 degrees of collective on my three blade, and I've always done that from the very beginning, and I found it worked really well for me. But for someone who says, Kyle, I'm getting into a three blade setup, where do I start? I usually tell them to do 1800 RPM with 12.5 degrees of collective. That's a great place to start to get a feel for what the helicopter is going to feel like, get used to the power, and then kind of go from there. Because 1800 is going to feel kind of like 1950 to 2000, like we talked about with a two-blade. And then 12.5 is going to be kind of like 13-ish on a two-blade.
See, my recommendation would be a little bit different than yours. I would say run 2000 head speed instead of 1800 and run only about 11 degrees instead of 12.5.
Okay.
Because that gives somebody the ability to get nasty with a collective and cyclic and not burn anything, not stall anything, not, you know. But again, it's everybody's different, so... You know, the person that might benefit from your advice might, you know, destroy their stuff with my advice and vice versa.
Sure.
Somebody might try your setup and or your suggestion and and overload the crap out of it and run into an issue where they would benefit from my recommendation. So you have to play with the stuff.
Yeah.
That's the only way to find what's suitable for each and every one of you, I would say.
I would always say whatever you do, start off conservatively because... Three-blade is certainly different than two-blade.
Absolutely. But do you run more pitch? So compare it, you said you run 14.5, and compare it to two-blade setup, do you run more or less pitch?
Generally speaking, and based on history, I'm running typically less. I usually run 13 degrees on a two-blade setup. Lately, I've been running higher head speed and more pitch. I think on my two-blade 700, I have about 16 degrees right now, just because I really love the way the blades sound when you stop real hard. But typically on a three-blade helicopter, I've always had to use more pitch. Than a two blade.
So disclaimer here: if you're going to run 16 degrees of collective pitch on your two blade helicopter, you have got to have the skills of Kyle Stacey, because you can never ever be at full collective,
right?
Whether it is positive or negative, unless you're doing it for absolute split second.
Right.
It's like a burst just to stop it, and then you have to come off of it right away.
And no cyclic included. Or else you could pop a link.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. But question.
Anyway, back to it. Flybarless setup. This is going to pertain to a V-Bar Neo setup, because that's all I have flown for the past, like, I want to say 5 years now.
But so, I think it applies to everything, though.
Generally.
It's pretty much the same.
Yeah. Generally. Yeah. The exact numbers I spit out are going to be for BK servos with Goblin with V-Bar. So... the main thing that you all have probably heard by now is that three-bladed helicopters need less main rotor cyclic gain, which is always going to be true no matter what gyro you use. I've found it to be about 20 points less on a V-bar, so I run 40% gain on my three-blade versus about 60 on my two-blade. But as far as cyclic pitch, I still run 8 degrees, and then as collective, we mentioned 14.5.
Yeah.
So none of that changes, but...
I think the main difference between two-blade, three-blade is with three-blades, you have got to drop your gain overall drastically.
Drastically, yes.
Like, I would say drop the gain about 30% of where you were at before with two-blades. In terms of, you know, the V-bar is fantastic when it comes to, like, doing its own mixing between the P, I, and D gains. You know, if you have a more... complex type flight controller, not to say anything bad about them, but if you have something like a Nikon or something else, they still mix the three gains, the PID, But you might have to go into an advanced menu and just tweak your other settings. Sure. The gain that I feel is most critical that you have got to reduce is your P gain. Because your P gain is the one that, if it's too high, is going to cause an isolation in the head, in the rotor head. And it basically manifests itself as a like a wobble, but a very fast, very aggressive one. And if it's too bad, you have to hit throttle hold and land immediately. Because if you try to fly like that, you're gonna break something. You're gonna boom strike. You're gonna pop a link. You're gonna do something.
Sure.
But your P gain needs to come down. All your gains need to come down. But more than anything, your P gain. But that's really it. Because there's no other changes. I mean, everything else is whatever is up to the person's personal preference. You know, whether they like it a fast flip or roll rate, whether they like a lot of expo or very little expo. I mean, that's all subject to. That doesn't change.
Right.
But the gain is very critical. That always has to change, no question.
Like, so. For example, for those of you familiar with V-bar, the agility value on my two-blade and my three-blade helicopter is exactly the same. At either 124 or 126. I can't remember what it is, but it's exactly the same. The next big change is style. For two-blade, I usually run about 85 to 90 on the style. And for three-blade, it's down about 70 to 75. And that makes it a little more wild, a little more vivid, a little bit looser because it's inherently so tight, feeling.
But, this is true. Yeah. So what about three-blade tails? Three-blade tail. Is it needed on the Havoc? Is it something that's required? What do you think of that?
It's not required. It's good to have. I've flown three-bladed heads with a two-bladed tail with no problem. If you are going to do that, I would probably recommend speeding up the tail with a smaller tail pulley. That'll get more RPMs in the tail. But you don't need it. It's cool. I think it offers a little bit more of a response off-center, so it's a little bit quicker when you give fast inputs, but for the Havoc, it's not needed. It's really beneficial for something like we mentioned, the 770 Sport.
I mean, it comes with it, so why not use it?
Right, why
not?
Yeah,
it'd be dumb to remove the three-bladed tail and put a two-bladed tail, but but I don't think you need it with the head speeds you're running. Like, you know, 2300, you can get away with two-bladed tail.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's particularly needed or useful if you're running a lower head speed setup, like Kyle recommended, 1800 with 12.5 degrees of pitch. If you've never flown a three-bladed setup, I think for that head speed, that kind of pitch, I think the three-blade is almost a necessity. But it comes with it, so why not use it? It helps. Particularly at low head speeds.
Yeah. But if you're going to put a three-bladed head on your Thunder Sport, if you want to just save some cash, you don't really need to get the three-bladed tail right away. If you want to get it down the line, that's perfectly fine. But the two-bladed tail with 115mm blades works just fine.
Absolutely.
To get you started.
No question.
But
no question.
What about some drawbacks? Some very simple ones I can think of right off the top of my head is extra drag. Motors, ESCs, and batteries typically run hotter, so there's a lot more load. A lot more drag on the whole power system. So,
but then again, that's very relative because it depends on your setup. If you have a two-blade helicopter set up at 2200 head speed with the same motor, ESC, and batteries, then you have a three-blade helicopter set up again at 2200, same head speed, same ESC, same motor, same batteries. Yes, your three-blade helicopter is going to use more.
Sure.
It's going to use more power. It's going to have more drag. It's going to get the motor a little warmer. It's going to get your ESC a little warmer. It's going to get your batteries a little hotter. But if you run that equivalent to where, again, this is just a random number, but 2,000 on your three-bladed setup and 2,200 on your two-bladed setup, then you might be close to the same temperatures.
What about flight time, though?
Same situation. I feel like if you take a two-bladed setup at 2200 and a three-bladed at 2000 or 1900, I think you might be close in terms of flight time. But if you match the two, the three-bladed setup is gonna burn milliamps much faster, and you're gonna run out of flight time quicker.
Right.
So, I mean, what's your flight time at that head speed? Like 2 minutes, literally.
I think you and I are lucky to get 2.5 right now.
Yeah, 2.5 if we're lucky.
Yeah.
But I can get 2.5 all day long with a two-bladed setup with the exact same head speed and not kill the battery.
Yeah,
right?
True.
Whereas with the Havoc 2.5, you can get it, but you're really pushing the battery to its limit.
Yeah.
The 2 minutes would be the safe mark, I would say, right?
Agreed.
2 minutes, 10 seconds, something like that, more.
Yeah. Because I remember the days of running a far more conservative two-blade setup and getting 3.5-4 minutes, but I can't do that anymore.
No, not at all.
No, my setups are a little
wild. But that's the beauty of, like, I mean, you are at a level where you want everything you can get out of the helicopter, because you can push the helicopter to its limit. For most people, and myself included, like, I feel like I enjoy, don't get me wrong, I enjoy the crazy head speed like you run, and I can fly it. But, you know, a lot of times I'll fly it at a lower head speed, like that one day at the field that I was giving you on Gator shit. I said, my battery's dead. I was flying at like 2,000.
Yeah.
And I got like, I think I flew for like 3.5 minutes with like a really bad battery, because those batteries are pretty much done. And I was enjoying myself. So, it everybody's different. It really depends on what people are expecting out of their setup and so forth.
Sure. So it's all relative. The next more obvious one is more to break in a crash. You have an extra blade to break, an extra blade grip to bend, an extra main linkage to lose. So when you inevitably pile it in, there's more parts to fix.
More thrust bearings to maintain.
Yes.
Yeah.
That as well. And tail blades. If you break the tail, more stuff to break.
More difficult to track.
Yeah, true. True. Like,
tracking is kind of a challenge, you know.
The best way I've done it is when I'm setting up my cyclic servos, I will zero the pitch gauge on the motor and then zero all the blades at mid stick. That way they're always right. But if you're out the field and you go to just pick one to adjust it, you're probably going to pick the wrong one, and they're all going to be way off.
So how would you, so if you do your setup at home, and this can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you went through a crash, you bend a blade grip arm, and you bent it to the point where you cannot even see it with the naked eye. It's just very little. But it's enough to change that blade like half a degree. Now you pick it into hover, and you see that like your blades are out of track. How would you track it?
I personally would just go back to the bench, put the collective stick at mid stick, and do it that way. Because there's no way to do it in hover unless you put different colored tape.
That's what I was going to say. Tape. Yeah,
tape.
See, the beauty of, and this is something that I don't think I've ever talked about during the podcast or in public or in a video or anything. The way I track my two blade setup is like I'm really lazy, right? So I'll do my setup on the bench the best I can, but I'm not that meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go hover, I would say 90% of the time it'll be tracking and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But there's a 10% of the time when it will not track. So what I do is I just simply go out there and, you know, as you look at the blade grips, right? There's one blade grip that your main hub on the head, the hub that attaches to your main shaft, has a, what we used to call back in the day, a Jesus bolt. Is that still what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And that Jesus bolt, you know, has a nut on the other side, a lock nut. So I look at the blade grip that's going to the nut or the bolt on the bolt side or the nut side, and I'll just pop it and I'll turn it one turn in or something, right? And then I'll pop it back in and I'll hover it. Murphy's Law says it's always going to be wrong, so I just go back out there and then now I loosen it two turns instead of one. And that's how I get to track my two. I mean, as long as you know what blade you're messing with, you can always go back and change it.
Mm-hmm.
But with a three-bladed setup, you can't.
You can't.
You need tape. You need tape. Yeah, need like at least three pieces of tape.
But what's funny is if you use that method right there, because on the Goblin, they're numbered 1, 2, and 3. Say you adjust number 1, you go out, still off. Go in 2, still off. All right, well, I guess that's the wrong blade. Go pick another one, do the same thing. You're going to be chasing your tail forever.
Oh, I mean, you could do it, but man, it would take a lot of work.
Because blade number 1 needs 1 turn, blade number 2 needs 2, and then blade number 3 needs 4. Like, no thank you.
Yeah.
I'd rather do it my way.
Another drawback is that it's harder to find rotor blades, man. I mean, true. Who else is making three blade sets? I think SAB is it.
SAB, Align has a set, and at one point Spin Blades had a set. I don't know if Spin Blades is still making those or not, but Align makes their set, and then the SAB blades. Rotor Tech also has a 3-blade set. Other than that,
it's not a lot of options.
Not many options.
We never pursued it with Switch because we never saw enough demand for it. But
right.
You know, and it's funny because the 3-bladed setup became popular. It started to seem like it was becoming popular, and then it just sort of took a dip, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And now, you know, because of the Drake and so forth, and like you said, Align has a kit and everything, it's gotten better again. But it's not quite...
It's not as big as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, absolutely not.
Which is a bummer, but well, I think it's still cool. But
yeah, I agree.
I don't know. In conclusion, I think 3-blades is really fun to fly. It's very different. I don't think it's better or worse than any 2-blade setup out there. I think it's definitely worth trying, though, if you guys have the time, dedication, and money to kind of put into it to give it a shot. I think it's a fun thing to try with, and maybe you guys get a kick out of it and really enjoy it, or maybe you'll hate it. I don't know if you do. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun.
I mean, you know, here's the thing, right? A lot of people get bent out of shape thinking, you know, I don't like three blades. Try it. Because the worst that can happen is you're going to end up with a three blade. You're not going to regret. For the people that buy Havoc, they're not going to regret having a three-bladed tail. Three-bladed tail works with anything and everything.
True.
If you don't like the feel of a two-bladed head, you can get a two-bladed head, and it's going to cost you some money, but I assure you that you're going to find a way to unload that rotor head, that three-bladed rotor head, on eBay or like on one of these various groups online, helicopter buy and sell type thing on Facebook, and you can get rid of that. You're going to lose some money, but it's not going to be a whole lot because what do you need to convert from three-blade to two-blade or vice versa? Obviously you need a head block, your hub, right?
Yep.
You can reuse the same blade grips, can't you?
You can.
Yeah. So you need a hub and it's
mixing arms
and you need new dampeners.
And a spindle.
And a spindle shaft.
Yep.
That's it, right?
I mean, same grips, same pitch arms, same everything.
Yeah. So it's not a lot of money to go from three to two.
Right.
From two to three is more because now you need another blade grip. Now you need, you know, more bearings, more everything. You know, blades. The three little spindles. You need a complete set of blades. You need all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But from three to two is not that bad. So if you try a three-bladed helicopter, I don't know the specifics of a line, but I don't want to exclude them because I know they have a three-bladed helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
But I know with Goblin, if you do three blades, you can go to two for, you know, I don't know, under $100, right?
Just a couple parts. Yeah. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. Then, of course, the gearing, because the gearing is going to be different. But motor pulley is, I think, 10, 12 bucks.
It depends. If you've already geared it at 2200, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You don't have to change anything.
So
if you go 1900, you want to bump that gear ratio up to give you at least 21 on the two-bladed setup, at least 2000, if not 2100.
Right.
But if you already set it up at 2223, like Kyle and I, like you're there. You're all set. Mm-hmm. So
good to go.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Cool.
Is there anything else to cover? I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, it's not much else to say. There's a lot wide variety of goblins they can fit on. I think they have a three-bladed head for pretty much everything by now, except the fireball. 500, 570, 700, Uruk-hai speed, all the same head.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hell, there's even a Costacy edition 380.
There is, yeah.
And a part number SG 381,
I 382.
Believe. 382.
382, yeah.
So take your pick. Three blades or two blades. I think three blades are cool, but I still am a fan of two blades.
Me
simple.
Too. Yeah.
But you can't go wrong with a three blade if you're going to try it. I think like Kyle said, you're going to enjoy it. No question.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's about it.
Well.
Wrap this one up.
So we're not going to have a podcast next week.
Nope.
So let's see here. We're actually recording this the day off. Can you believe that?
I know. This is going live in like probably what, hour or two?
This will be... Oh, it's almost live. Like, it's within an hour. Yeah.
Right.
Within half an hour.
Right.
Next week, which is the 19th, we're not having a podcast. The 26th, we're not having a podcast. And the 2nd, we're not having a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking a long hiatus away from podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
But...
You know what that means, though?
What?
We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have a lot more. Yeah. We'll have a lot more.
Yep.
But with that said, you know, we wish you happy holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Gator would say, screw the holidays, we call it Christmas, you know. Merry Christmas. We wish you all the best for 2019.
Yep.
Happy New Year. What else, Kyle?
Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah, if you do that, I guess.
That passed already.
But is it over now?
Yeah, I think it's
okay,
over.
Okay, well, happy Hanukkah.
I don't know. No, I'm not very well versed with all the different...
Me neither.
No.
Who knows?
But happy everything, whether you guys are Jewish or you guys are Muslims or you guys are Christians or whatever you are. We don't give a shit.
Yeah.
We're all the same, one of a kind human beings. We appreciate your support.
Yeah.
We started this, I don't remember how long ago, but it's been 26 podcasts. So, Jesus.
26, 27 weeks ago?
26, at least 26 active weeks. I think we skipped a couple.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
So yeah, that's over 6 months, 7 months, something like that.
Not bad.
So thanks for your support. We appreciate it very much. Wish you all the best.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you in 2019. Kyle, if somebody needs you, where do they go?
Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
And mine is Facebook.com/BirdRC. Or we can be reached at Facebook.com/TheBKOfficial.
Yep.
Or Instagram, TheBKOfficial.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Happy New Year.
See ya.